"My dear fellow," he cried, wringing Holmes' unresponsive hand, "congratulate me. I have made the whole thing as clear as day." A shade of anxiety seemed to me to cross my companion's expressive face. "Do you mean that you are on the right track?" he asked.
"The right track? Why, sir, we have the man under lock and key.
And his name is
Arthur Champontier, sub-lieutenant in Her Majesty's Navy,"
cried Gregson pompously, rubbing his fat hands and inflating his chest. Sherlock Holmes gave a sigh of relief and relaxed into a smile.
"Take a seat and try one of these cigars," he said. "We are anxious to know how you managed it. Will you have some whiskey and water?"
"I don't mind if I do,"
the detective answered.
"The tremendous exertions which I have gone through during the last day or two have worn me out. Not so much bodily exertion, you understand, as the strain upon the mind.
You will appreciate that, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, for we are both brain workers."
"You do me too much honour," said Holmes gravely. The detective seated himself in the armchair and puffed complacently at his cigar. Then suddenly he slapped his thigh in a paroxysm of amusement.
"The fun of it is," he cried, that fool Lestrade, who thinks himself so smart, has gone off upon the wrong track altogether. He is after the secretary Stangerson, who had no more to do with the crime than the babe unborn. I have no doubt that he has caught him by this time."
The idea tickled Gregson so much that he laughed until he choked.
"And how did you get your clue?"
"Ah, I'll tell you all about it.
Of course, Dr. Watson, this is strictly between ourselves. The first difficulty which we had to contend with was the finding of this American's antecedents. Some people would have waited until their advertisements were answered, or until parties came forward and volunteered information.
That is not Tobias Gregson's way of going to work. You remember the hat beside the dead man?"
"Yes," said Holmes. "By John Underwood and Sons, 129 Camberwell Road."
Gregson looked quite crestfallen.
"I had no idea that you noticed that," he said. "Have you been there?"
"No."
"Ha!" cried Gregson in a relieved voice. "You should never neglect a chance, however small it may seem."
"To a great mind, nothing is little," remarked Holmes sententiously.
"Well, I went to Underwood, and I asked him if he had sold a hat of that size and description. He looked over his books and came on it at once. He had sent the hat to a Mr. Drebber residing at Charpentier's boarding establishment, Torquay Terrace. Thus I got his address."
"Smart. Very smart," murmured Sherlock Holmes.